Right, hi Demi.
Hello.
Long time no see.
Hello.
Okay, so we've made it to the third and final podcast, and this one we're going to be talking about any support groups that you've used and what we have in place, like to manage our ADHD symptoms. So take it away, Demi.
Like I said, I've been attending the support group for I don't know if it's a year or longer now, but I'm not really sure even how the idea of going to a support group came to me. I can't even remember if it was somebody suggested it or if I just kind of wondered. I wonder if there's a support group I can go to.
I think that's what you said to us when you came. Initially, you said I was searching because you were searching for one in five and there wasn't one.
Yeah, there wasn't one. There is one now, but I don't want to leave because I've met all these nice people at
Yeah.
the first one. And like I had like an initial kind of, it wasn't like a consultation really. It was just more like a check-in with Lorna. She like phoned me one day and just kind of spoke to me about, like what how the support group works and like what I'm kind of struggling with. And she just listened to my story and my experience and then told me more about kind of what they do. And so that was really nice. Since joining the support group, I think just feeling like I think each time it's a wee bit of extra validation in that like you recognize like you're not the only one with these problems and that other people get overwhelmed and frustrated at themselves and in just the exact same ways that you do with ADHD. And yeah, that I think that's been the nicest thing about it so far, that kind of camaraderie.
Yeah.
So
That's
that's been
probably
quite
why it's a good idea sticking with Perth, isn't it? Because if you started again in five, you'd literally have to start from scratch, wouldn't you, with people and stuff?
Yeah, totally. And then yeah, I was just thinking that, yeah, it would be, yeah, because I remember how scary it was going along the first time, whereas now it's not scary. Now I actually feel like my job is now to make new people feel welcome.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what you do. You kind of like pass the torch down once you've learned like how the group functions and what we can kind of discuss. So like, it's really nice now that you and I like kind of mentor it now in a way, like so that like Lorna can go back and do her work because like
Yeah.
she's absolutely overwhelmed with so many new applicants and helping families on a one-to-one basis. It's kind of nice that we now can like help like steer the direction of like the drop-in sessions and yeah, like if we notice somebody's not getting a chance to talk or if like we're trying to get people back on track to talking about ADHD things and not like what series they've been watching lately. And I think it helps as well because it really helps me to focus. It's been a really cool group to have been a part of, and we've got to do some cool things as well, like the National Lottery podcast that we did. So that was really cool to help out with that, like to help the group hopefully get more funding, which was really cool because I think once a service has really helped you, then you really then want to help that service back. And then I know you've had some like cool TV opportunities
I
and things.
think you're right, because I think like Lorna as well, she's always been a massive advocate of the fact that people with lived experience have a lot to give other people that are kind of like, because a lot of those people that we get at the group, obviously they're just starting a journey. Some of them haven't even been diagnosed, and it's really hard for them to know even where to start with that stuff. So I think when you meet other people with lived experience that are further down that road, that's actually quite reassuring for people, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a big thing. I mentioned in the previous podcast that I've been going to a mental health service, and it's been really good because it's like people. It's been peer support, so it's people who have lived experience of mental health, and you go in and kind of talk to them about what you're struggling with. And the strangest thing from that experience, but also a really good thing, was that they kind of give you advice on what's worked for them and what's helped them. And I've never had any kind of counseling session or therapy session quite like that. I've had like traditional kind of therapy where you kind of sit and they ask you questions that kind of leads you to like working things out for yourself, kind of working out maybe what your next step is and what you need to do. But you don't, they're not allowed to offer advice, which I think the difference is when someone's been through something and they're kind of looking back on it now and they're able to help other people who are just going through this. They're like, they're further down the path than you are. They can kind of give you advice and say, well, I did this and this really helped me. So I think that's been like, that's kind of what happens at the support group. There's people at all different levels. There's people who haven't been diagnosed yet. There's people who have been diagnosed. There's people who've been like diagnosed for a very long time and have known about their ADHD for a long time. And we're all coming at it from like different walks of life and different stages of like acceptance of who we are and how our brains work. And so, yeah, there's definitely people to look up to in the group as well. And to say like, oh well, they managed to overcome that and they're now, they just totally own it. Like you're really good at advocating for yourself because you've got to know exactly what you need. So that's quite inspiring because now if I'm thinking about going to back to university to do a postgrad, I'm like, I would approach that with that mindset of being like, right, I need to advocate for myself and be really blunt about this is what I need and like this is how I'm gonna work best and yeah, whereas before, obviously, I didn't know that about myself, so I had a really difficult time in education.
That's the thing. I think it's half and half, isn't it? It's half the fact that you just see other people doing things, which gives you ideas to do it. But then also people do ask direct questions for advice. And whilst we always say to them, this works for me, it may not work for you, at least you get to try it and see if it does then.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm trying to think of if there's any specific examples of things, something someone said that's like been quite game changing for me.
It's hard to do that, just like just think of it off the top of your head.
Know. Yeah, it is.
That really helped.
I'll think of some, I'll bring them back. I'll refer back to it in this chat.
Yeah. Which is what I was actually going to ask you next anyway, about sort of some coping strategies you have learned, like and things that you maybe do know that you didn't do before that help you in situations where you kind of found it really difficult to do it.
I have like managed to get a little bit better at kind of thinking about my future self a wee bit and thinking like I'll maybe organize my lunch for the next day. Sometimes I don't do this all the time, but knowing that like that'll benefit my future self the next day, in terms of getting ready and getting somewhere on time, it helped recently to think of things in like half hour chunks. And to schedule my day like that, or like schedule my getting ready process in that way. I'm still finding it hard to stick to, but it definitely did work one time.
Progress there, right?
And I think, yeah, the being honest about the ADHD as well has been a big thing that's helped. And just like hearing other people say that they told their employer, or they just told people they were working with, or they disclosed it to like their family and they just said it like, as if it was like, nothing they needed to apologize for, just something they had to like say. That's definitely helped. Where before I went on that job last week, I sent an email to like one of the people working in production saying, you should just know that I've got ADHD. I don't think it'll be an issue, but it's worth somebody knowing about and like it's worth disclosing. And I think then I thought to myself, actually the only way it would affect me is that like, I might be late that day. And then again, that will change their perception of like, oh, she's late. How, instead of thinking how rude or how unprofessional, they'll know, well, actually she told us she's got ADHD. So
Do you think that gave you permission not to mask as much as well? Have you been not masking as much?
Yeah, no, I think you're so right. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, definitely not masking as much and just like and just owning it. I think that's a big thing that some people from the ADHD support group have kind of inspired in me is just to kind of laugh at the things that we do that are like before I would have gave myself a really hard time about and been like really frustrated with myself about, but now I just kind of own it And I'm like, oh, my ADHD brain, my ADHD brain forgot to reply to you, like, instead of being like, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot to reply, and making up an excuse and lying to somebody and saying like, I've been unwell, or you know what I mean? Because I used to just make up elaborate excuses to, like, in the hope that people would like forgive me for something I'd done that was actually just due to my ADHD.
I think since like I've known you've changed a lot in that way, and like all for the better with, like if we were planning on doing something and that, and you're like, I'm really tired today, or I mean, it feels like you're really starting to kind of stand up for yourself and actually give yourself what you need, which feels like a massive positive thing.
Saying no is difficult. I feel like I definitely fall into the category of people pleasers. But I'm starting to notice a lot more. Like, in fact, that was one kind of tool that has been really helpful, is saying, when someone asks me to do something now, I kind of say, can you check in with me on the day and I'll see how I'm feeling? Because before, somebody would say to me, like, do you want to do this thing? Can you do this thing for me? And I'll say yes. Whereas now I think I'm getting a lot better at being like, I'm interested, but can you check in with me on the day and I'll see how I'm feeling that day, or the night before, or because I definitely say yes to things and then it comes to it and I'm like, why did I say yes to that? I've taken on way too much. Like, yeah, I can't do it. And then I feel even worse for, like, I have this real sense of like, I really want to be someone who's true to their words. And then I get upset with myself. And that's why I get upset with myself when I'm late, because I'm like, oh, I said I'd meet them at 11 and now it's 11:30, And really they're fine, but I'm more like, I just want to be a person that's true to my word, that says I'm going to do things and do it. So,
It's almost been about accepting yourself, and if you're late, if you've told them in advance you might be late, then you can be easy with yourself because you don't feel like you're letting them down or yourself down, or
And I think, like, maybe just a better understanding of my brain, and not like telling myself that it's my fault, that, or telling myself like, oh, I'm depressed, I'm obviously like not looking after myself properly, or I'm thinking myself into these holes and everything like that. And instead now I kind of just think like, oh, like the way the chemistry in my brain works is just different. And maybe being a bit more precious about like my energy for a day, or like that, recognizing that I'm like kind of chasing stimulation, or different learning styles as well. Like, I used to think I was really stupid because I didn't enjoy reading, or like I found it really difficult to read. Whereas now, like, I know there's so much else going on there. There's dyslexia going on there. There's maybe this syndrome, what was it called again?
Mears Eileen.
Mears-Eileen syndrome. And also the fact that, like, I've heard people say that like ADHD people function best when it's something we're actually interested in. And I've noticed that, like, if I read a book and it's something I'm actually interested in reading, oh, I read it really quick and it's no problem. So just little things like that, like, yeah. That's been helpful. It definitely, like, it's funny because these like toolkits are sometimes like invisible and you kind of just need to remind yourself to use them. I don't have I'm trying to think of like any physical kind of tools that I've started to use. Like, I'm maybe one of these people that have bought like planners and organizers and stuff, and they've not really went to plan. There has been like a wall chart thing that I've bought recently that's just kind of small, but it's just like the week, and that's helped, like, at times, especially when like I've forgot to disclose to Ross something that I've got going on, or something that I've planned with someone else. And it kind of lets him see whether like I've like blocked the whole week out with loads of stuff that might be too much for me, and then he's been able to say, that's going to be a mental 2 days, and like, are you sure you need to do all these things? Do you know what I mean? So that's been handy. And oh, there was another thing I was going to say, but I feel like I forgot.
I was going to ask you that actually. You saying that, sorry to like interrupt your train of thought there in case you can remember that. But just like you were just mentioning there about Ross and doing things like that. Do you feel like anybody around you, like all your friends, your family, people you work with and that, have they any of those changed since you got your diagnosis?
Well, yeah, the biggest one's my parents. That's changed the most. Like they would give me a hard time all the time for like being scatty, being unorganized, being late. And they would say things like, my mum's always had this kind of inside joke with me and the family, and she's always called me Demi Disaster, and I think that was like, I think as well in my group of friends, I've been the butt of jokes a lot, and it's been like, I mean, it's not, it hasn't bothered me so much, but now actually I look back and I'm like, that was actually probably quite detrimental to my own kind of self identity, and thinking like,
Confidence as well.
you know, if you hear yourself being told you're a disaster, or if friends are making like jokes at you because you've like, you know what I mean? I think as well on certain jobs or like with colleagues, see, the thing I used to get a lot was people would sigh and go, oh, Demi. And like, I don't think people realize how much that hurts to hear like that, like they have pity for you, and that they have like, yeah, like almost a wee bit of contempt for you as well, and like they're just shaking their head at you. And whereas now I feel like I get that a lot less.
Right.
And especially with my parents, like being they really don't mention anything about, like they really don't show their frustration that I'm late anymore. And they've even mentioned a few times, like, they've mentioned my ADHD, which was interesting because like at first they both of them didn't ex like really accept it, or really they weren't like really behind me on that. They were like, they were really doubting that I had ADHD, especially when I'm from my diagnosis. My mum didn't like really help fight my corner of
I
evidence
know
to
you
the
spoke about that, didn't you, in the first podcast? Yeah.
whereas now like yeah, I think she does realize that. And my dad as well, like he's now saying things to me like, you need a wee notebook on you, Demi, all the time, just a wee notebook, and write it down because your ADHD will make you forget. And like, you know, he's trying to help me, I think, with like wee suggestions and things.
That's
And
nice.
it's kind of weird though, if like
Yeah, it
I
would be very
went
weird.
home that I went home and I spoke to my boyfriend, and I was like, did you hear my dad said something about my ADHD? This is spooky. Like, who are you and what have you done with
What though? That's a legit thought because while we have to adjust to the fact that we've got this condition, obviously everybody around us then has to adjust to the fact that we have been diagnosed. We're going to change quite radically as a person. And yeah. Never really thought about that before, actually, how that affects friends and family and that when somebody gets a diagnosis.
Like I think my friends now are like less likely to like poke fun at me,
Yeah.
because they're like, they kind of notice that like, oh, it's like, it's not really fair to like, you know, like if I was in a wheelchair, would they be like doing the same thing? You know, they probably wouldn't, you know,
Yeah.
they might. Well, it depends what kind of how comfortable you are with your friends, but I've had friends as well that have got frustrated at me because they're like, one of my friends is like, he gets quite upset if he thinks somebody's not listening. And one day, like when we were on holiday actually on that trip, my friend was like, he was like, oh, you're not even listening, because I got distracted by another one of my friends. We're all in a car journey on our way somewhere on holiday. And he was talking to me, and he was like in the front seat, and I'm in the back. But in the back, my other friend is also like distracting me with like some silly nonsense. And then my friend who's in the front went, oh, you're not even listening. You know what? It doesn't even matter. But then my other friend comes in, and he says, oh, you know, Demi can't help that. She gets distracted. You know, so like, then you kind of have people that advocate for you as well a wee bit.
Yeah.
not like it's not like super common, doesn't happen all the time, but especially in my relationship, maybe like I think it's upset Ross before when I've like seemed like I wasn't listening, or if I've got distracted, or if I've interrupted his flow of him telling me something. Whereas now he kind of like, yeah, he's, well, since I met him, I told him I had ADHD, but I think he's like learned to like understand the nuances of that, and what that actually is. So, and then also able to help me with like kind of saying like, are you sure you want to commit to this new thing you're going to start doing? Before like weeks down the line, it becomes like some another thing you've taken on that you really didn't need.
That must be really good having that now. Having like a secondary voice there just to, in case kind of you've got so wrapped up, because I think one of the things with ADHD, you do get really caught up by excitement and this is going to be great and, you know, and then you commit to it. And like you just said, sometimes you can really overcommit. So it must be really nice having somebody that knows you that well to be able to say, you know, are you sure you're going to cope with this and it's not going to affect you further?
It's taken a while to get used to, and for me not to be like, yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing. Like, please.
Not being defensive, yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, oh, you're probably right. Okay, yeah. Like, what can I get rid of? Or, yeah. Or maybe I'll start it off a wee bit slow and see. And that's led to me saying things like, oh, you know, get in touch with me on the day. You know, I don't want to say totally definitely yes right now. Because yeah, I do get excited. I'm like, yeah, totally. And then that thing comes up, and I'm like, oh no, I've triple booked myself, and now I'm gonna disappoint three people and myself. And yeah, so yeah, I think it's yeah, especially like for not like replying to people or forgetting to do something that you said you would do. Yeah, that's been quite positive.
I think it's hard for ADHD people in this day and age because everybody feels like everybody's accessible 24/7, like with mobile phones and, you know, and emails and things like that. And if you don't reply for a day or two, which you're more likely to do, obviously, when you've got ADHD, people are like, oh my God, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you ignoring me? And it's like, it's not like that at all.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's made life worse for us in that sense. Needing to be available to people 24/7 as well when we need that downtime.
Oh, it takes me like just so long to structure an email, like to write an email, because I think because of the dyslexia thing as well. And I've like, you know, I've got I'm working with Grammarly's telling me. And it's like it just takes me a long time to actually write down what I mean, and if that makes sense, so that will make sense to the other person. And then also I try and like not make my email sound kind of blunt or sound too long-winded. You've got to get that balance.
I definitely think it makes the easiest of tasks really difficult, doesn't it, having ADHD?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's what can feel really debilitating about it.
So I've only got one question left anyway for this particular podcast, and that is, have you got any advice for anybody about this mammoth journey that we have documented in these three podcasts from when you first thought you've got ADHD right the way through everything we've spoken about? How would you advise somebody if they came to you and said, I think I've got ADHD?
So that happens a lot. Like I'll mention my ADHD, and then a lot of people say, oh, I think I've got ADHD. Once I explain to them how I struggle with it, they'll say, I think I've got that. And what I've started doing lately is I've started saying to them, like, if you think you've got ADHD, the first thing I would recommend is just joining a support group and not going to your GP and not waiting to get a diagnosis, because at the moment it's, I don't know, I don't think it's as straightforward as when I did it. I think there's been a huge influx of people who, since the pandemic, have like have tried to access help from their GP and try to get a referral, so that they can get a diagnosis. And from what I've heard from the outside, from what I've heard from Lorna, who runs a support group, and the amount of people she's had contact her,
Yeah.
and then from what I've heard from friends who have tried to go to their GP since like the pandemic, it sounds like, and even my own experiences actually with some psychiatrists that were, so my psychiatrist changed from when I had my first diagnosis to then when I went back again and had to go on the waiting list again to then get medication again. It was a different psychiatrist. And there's a bit of, shall we say, skepticism.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing more and more cases of people going to their GP and not being taken seriously and being told that, like, I have a friend and he went to his GP and his GP said to him, oh yeah, ADHD is the really in thing to have right now.
Which is damaging. It's really damaging being like that.
And I have experience of like speaking to a psychiatrist, who I mentioned, that I was having some sort of comorbidities that were sensory related and getting really overwhelmed with sensory stuff. And they kind of rolled their eyes and tutted and said, oh, I suppose you want like an autism diagnosis now. And like, yeah, just I've heard like a lot of stories of this, like a lot of doubt or a lot of like, yeah, just skepticism. And I think that's maybe because they're overwhelmed with people who are like, coming to them because there's been more like social awareness around ADHD and neurodiversity lately.
Yeah.
And that's like just in culture in general. And in fact, one of my friends who went to their GP about ADHD were also asked, oh, did you see that on TikTok? And I think it's because, like, yeah, there's this new big social media platform, TikTok, that's spreading ideas and information a lot quicker than previous social media platforms are doing. And we've also had a big period of time in the lockdown where we've been able to like self-reflect. A lot of people did that, myself included, where like a lot of people reassessed their lives and actually got to like get to know themselves a bit better and got to like focus on their priorities, or they changed like their job, or yeah, like got to ask themselves some like internal questions. Yeah, like we spent a lot more time on the internet during that time as well, perhaps. So like I think there's now more exposure and there's more,
Awareness.
yeah, there's more awareness of what ADHD is and what autism is and what it's not, and all these stereotypes are being challenged about these conditions. So yeah, when someone says to me, I think I might have ADHD, I say to them, join a support group because you might get your heart broken if you go to your GP. You're gonna have to wait a really long time for diagnosis.
Plus, that's really good advice, because the support group would help them clarify. I mean, it would be blatantly obvious if they had it or if they didn't, because like you said, it's that solidarity we've all got at ours, where you go, oh my God, me too. And you relate to people so much. If you weren't feeling that at support group, you'd probably know it was something else. And I think what you were saying about lockdown is all absolutely relevant, but it's also the fact that we have a lot of coping strategies as people with ADHD, and especially if you're an adult and you've got to adulthood, you've got all these things in place. And they were all taken away during lockdown. So anything you've got, like if you were like just a workaholic to maintain that kind of not having to think about things, but then all of a sudden you couldn't do your job. I think that's why it's all come out as well.
Or if you were somebody who was always around people
And then you
and then you
couldn't.
struggled being isolated
Yeah.
and or having to like figure out your own structure, yeah, that would have been like that would have raised like
Alarms.
yeah, alarms.
Yeah, I think it's really important though as well to understand this stuff, because a lot of women are getting diagnosed, middle-aged women that are just starting perimenopause, and that because of the hormonal stuff. And it's because it exacerbates the symptoms. So you might have coped with like your temper and your temperament and all those kind of changes your whole life, but then when it gets extreme the way it does when you enter like massive hormonal changes, that's why a lot of women I think are getting diagnosed then too. So I think there's reasons for it that are valid and real.
Yeah. And I just don't want somebody, I just don't want to say to someone, oh yeah, well you should go get tested, and then they go to the GP and they're kind of laughed out the room.
Yeah. No,
No,
yeah,
or
because
like
it's
they're made to feel,
demoralizing.
yeah, totally, or they're made to feel like, oh, you're only saying that because it's in vogue right now, or
Yeah.
so that's why I would say just join a support group, because we get so many people in the support group. In fact, most people in the support group aren't diagnosed,
Yeah.
like officially.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, like I think it's good for people to come and like just kind of, I think as well, like to make up their own mind about, like I've heard some people say, I don't need a diagnosis because I know I've got it, you know? And I mean, fair enough to some people. I mean, like we've spoke a lot about why diagnosis is important, because it's like access to like medication, it's like access to like certain support, like therapy, like not that there's therapy for it, but it's access to support in terms of like, you know, like whether you're applying for like disability living allowance. I mean, it de depends on the degree in which the ADHD affects you.
Even a job though, it's
Yeah.
legalities, it's a legality of a job. You're then protected by the fact that,
Yeah.
you know, they
Because
need
you.
accommodations in place, and then you can do a job really successfully. So it's really
Exactly.
important for that as well.
Yeah. So I really recognize that I'm really fortunate that I got diagnosed before the pandemic, before there was this influx of people then like questioning whether they have ADHD or not. And you know, some of those are probably really valid. Other ones, maybe people are just like, they noticed in the pandemic that they weren't able to concentrate. And like a lot of people work from home now, and maybe that's affected their working style and they can't concentrate. So maybe they're thinking they've got ADHD and maybe they don't. Do you know what I mean? So like, I can kind of see why some, maybe why GPs are being skeptical. But yeah, like I think in the meantime, if what you really need is just like to understand whether or not you have ADHD or not, I think a support group's a good place to start. And then once you've kind of pieced all together all the evidence, you can then go to your GP with a better case of like, of ev not just a hunch of whether, oh, I think I might have ADHD. You could then maybe go to your GP and be like, I think I definitely have ADHD. I mean, and
Because
here's
of,
a
yeah.
thousand reasons why. Or, yeah, exactly. And then they're maybe going to take you more seriously instead of just being like, well, you know, like at the moment, somebody mentioned to me they've got ADHD and I kind of resonated with some of the things they said. And I think maybe now they're being a bit more strict with that before they just kind of, because I guess it is expensive to get diagnosed. I mean, like a private diagnosis is really expensive, so I guess that's what it costs the NHS as well.
I think the very fact, though, that people that are neurodivergent are much more likely to commit suicide than people that are not is a huge factor in people taking them seriously. And I think, you know, the more it gets better understood, the more people can relate to the symptoms and stuff. Because obviously, if you've followed that stereotype and think it's just little boys and it's just, you know, hyperactivity and it's just this and it's not. I mean, all these conditions we've spoken about that we've got, like OCD and things like that, they're all massively complex and affect different people in different ways. So it's really, really difficult to be dismissive of people. But at the same time, yeah, I totally get where they're coming from with that as well, because you do have to make sure people, but then a GP can't diagnose it, you know, diagnose it. They can only refer people. And then
Yeah.
that's a big, long, lengthy, expensive process. So I, you know, I get it from both sides, really. I understand both sides of the coin.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like the kind of gatekeeper to diagnosis for free.
Yeah.
Otherwise you have to go private and that's really expensive. So yeah, and like I am looking forward to like, you know, like a time like where I can like manage my ADHD without having to like be on medication as well. I wouldn't say that like another piece of advice I've gave people is that like what I've learned, which is like, okay, don't be naive and think what I thought, which is where I'm gonna get diagnosed with ADHD, I'm gonna take a pill and it's all gonna go away. And if you do have ADHD, it will be like a three-pronged approach. It'll be like medication as an option, but then there'll be like support network, support groups. And then the other approach will be like knowledge and understanding, and then maybe even a fourth prong, which is like tools, like useful kind of toolkit stuff.
Yeah.
So like I was saying to you earlier today, like off the record, about how I've started going in the gym and the showers there are on a timer. So that for me is like a life hack, because I'm like, oh, I can actually shower in 10 minutes and make my bus on time because the showers are on a timer. Like that wee tiny thing is really helpful, instead of like if I showered at home, I'm going to be in there for 40 minutes. And like, yeah, so sometimes just tiny little things like that can make a really big difference. Or like, getting the bus places makes a difference, because I feel like if I make sure, I just need to make sure I get that bus on time, and it's hard, and I have missed the bus a lot, and I really get upset when I do. But if I can get on that bus on time, then I have this downtime between me, like leaving the house to go to a thing and then arriving at the thing that I'm going to. And the downtime means that I can like de-stress for a bit and not be so anxious about being late, because I'm like, you know, I'm going to be on time because I've planned it with the bus.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like I'd rely on like the car a lot to just like make up for my lateness, and I would speed, and I've got like 3 points in my license for speeding, because I've been like, I've had trouble with timekeeping. And I've thought, well, I'm running late, but I'll make up for it by driving faster. And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like the bus therefore is like a little life hack for me, because it means, oh, I get to arrive on time. I have time to like sit and listen to a podcast and listen to music and chill out. And I don't need to worry about like thinking about, you know, thinking about driving
Yeah.
and trying to chase my tail.
Yeah.
So yeah, you kind of like learn little things like that, and that would be like, but I've deviated a bit from your original question. My biggest advice would be join a support group, speak to other people who have ADHD as much as you can, learn as much about ADHD as you can. Like on, there's loads of good websites that have amazing articles, and to kind of know that there's not going to be one, like kind of, it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
And if you do have ADHD, it's gonna like take a lot of like time to understand it and to then understand yourself. There's a whole process, like you get diagnosed and you go through this, like there's the release of being like, oh okay, it's not my personality, and this explains a lot. But then there's also the grieving of like, oh my God, I could have found this out as a child and life would have been easier, and I wouldn't have had so many failed jobs or failed relationships or failed projects, and I would have had help and access to help. So just to like, you know, to know that like that's a, it's a, yeah, it's a really big thing, and it takes a lot of time, would be my advice. And that, yeah, there's not going to be, you're not going to radically change overnight.
And why would you want to? I think there's two problems with that, isn't there? The one is that you will have a lot of unhealthy coping mechanisms in place because you've been trying to manage it, you know, an invisible condition your whole life without realizing you've got it. So that you're going to have to kind of undo a lot of that before you can put positive ones in place. But then there's also the other thing that you've been talking about there, where it is a process. It's a thing that you've got to give yourself time and acceptance. And because it's, I mean, with ADHD, once you know about something, you just want to research like the crap out of it and just like totally make sure that you know everything about it automatically. And you know, and I think it's about giving yourself time as well to just, because it's a lot. It's a lot. I think a lot of people that come to our support group and that feel very, very overwhelmed with it all. It's a lot. Even the stuff we talk about every week, you know, it can be a lot of new information. There's a lot of comorbidities. There's a lot of things I didn't realize were ADHD. So, yeah,
Even
there's
just
such a lot.
understanding the brain and the amygdala and like the
Yeah.
science behind it. Yeah, and I'd say like as well, like to think about the extent of which it affects your life, and whether that's a problem or not, or whether you can kind of just like, whether you're actually, maybe you do have undiagnosed ADHD, but it's not affecting you in like in such a debilitating way, and maybe you've just learned to kind of deal with that's who you are. Because I have some friends that are like that, and that I've said to them, like, I think you've got ADHD, and they're like, yeah, I probably do, but oh well. Do you know what I mean?
That's
They're
what I
happy, they're functioning, and they're
That's what
getting
I
on.
said to you about Richard Branson. He's actually
All
deemed his
right.
ADHD the reason, why he's so successful. And I think that's the difference, isn't it? It's whether you can harness that and whether you've had positive experiences with that, or whether you've had nothing but belittlement and mockery and negative experiences. That's the difference, I think, is that support network you've, because if people all think you're quirky, but they support you in that, you've never really had a need to kind of question that about yourself.
Yeah, or to feel bad about it or ashamed about it. So true. Because I've got friends that are like, I'm like, they definitely have ADHD, but they're just like, they're just doing what they normally do, and they're getting on fine. And so I think that would be like, for them, it might be like a whole can of worms to go through a diagnosis and try medication, and when they don't really need to. I think you need to kind of assess, like, how badly is this affecting my life? And how badly do I need that label? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's, for me, it's repetitiveness. It's when you've had failed relationship after failed relationship, you can't keep a job, you can't keep another job. It's that like constant failure in your life because of these things that you can't cope with. That's to me when you need a diagnosis and when you need help. Because like you say, if everything's all right, even though your friends might think you're a bit wacky or whatever, it's all right. You don't, it's not compulsory to get a diagnosis if you're managing your life and you're happy. That's the most important. It's about maintaining your mental health, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that's where we need to get like be careful with like encouraging people to get a diagnosis just because it'll be like a part of their identity. Do you know what I mean? Like it'll be like, I don't know, like just to make it an official thing for when it doesn't really matter, and
Yeah.
like when they're fine, do you know what I mean? When they're getting on okay, like
But this is like anything in life, you don't write a letter of complaint if you've had a great experience with something, do you?
exactly. But I think the idea that there's there's a lot of people who go and give blood just to find out their blood type.
Wow.
You know what I
That's a bit drastic.
mean? It's true though. Like, especially when I was in high school, a lot of people only went to give blood because they wanted to know what blood type they were. It was kind of like finding out your like what your
Sign.
personality, like your star sign, exactly. It was kind of like that.
I mean, I think that's the problem, isn't it? Like with social media now, everything is out there all the time. So to then distinguish between what's real and what's really impacting somebody's life negatively. And because if you go to the doctors and you think you've got ADHD, and then you go home and kill yourself because you got mocked or you got dismissed, we've got to avoid that as much as we've got to avoid people getting diagnoses when they don't need them.
Totally. Because like the thing is as well, like, and this is what I would like say to somebody as well who's like, well, like how I felt when I was kind of like maybe like met with skepticism about my ADHD. It's like, I don't want this. It's not something I want. I don't want it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why would I want this?
Exactly.
I want to better understand myself. I don't want to have a debilitating condition. Nobody wants to have a debilitating condition. Do you know what I mean? Because that's essentially what it is. So if it's not that for you, then don't seek it out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to be in a wheelchair, through choice. You would,
And that
but you
doesn't mean then that you can't make the best of a bad situation, because you absolutely can. Once you, and I think the fact that you're getting better at doing certain things and that because you're advocating for yourself more and stuff, that's the positive of it. That's the good side of it. But it would be better if you didn't have to do any of that.
There are loads of positives too. Like a friend asked me recently, like, to try and change my mindset on it a bit, because I was just complaining to him about like, oh, because of my ADHD this and because of my ADHD that and blah blah blah. And then he said to me, like, he's actually kind of jealous that I have ADHD. And I think this is another thing we need to be wary of, like people wanting ADHD, because he's like, I've heard that you can hyper focus, and like you can get amazing work done when you hyper focus, and you're really creative and stuff like that, and very entrepreneurial, you've got really good ideas, you think outside the box, and these are all things that would like help me when I'm doing my work. And that was like, and my friend was saying that to me from a place of like, look at the good points, which is so true. Like, because there's been times where like I've asked myself, or someone else has asked me, like, if they came out with a magic potion tomorrow that was like, drink this and your ADHD will be gone, like, would you drink it? And there's days where like I'm like, oh yeah, totally would. I'd be the first person in the queue. Like, I stand aside everyone. I'm getting it first. But then there's other days when I'm like, oh, you're right. It is what makes me quirky. It is what makes me like really good at socializing with people. It's good, like, and like, maybe it makes me funny. It makes me witty. It makes me like, good ideas person that like, I can, that makes me better at conversation in that way. It makes me really creative, and like, I think my creativity is like my favorite thing about myself. So if you took away my ADHD, would that all go as well? Would I just be kind of like, a mundane person?
I think again, like what you're saying there, though, is what we've been talking about all along, and what you and I have had like private conversations about as well. That is, it's how negatively something, because like when I had a breakdown after my mom died, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, like ever, and I never ever want to go back to the place I was in then because it was horrific. And but you're right, all these positives about me and the things that I really love about myself, I don't know if I would have to swap that to not have had that. And you can't make that call. It's a good job we can't decide. It's a good job there isn't something that takes it away. And there's lots of these conversations about other illnesses and physical disabilities and stuff, isn't there? And should we, screen babies and all that kind of stuff? I mean, you're getting into really dangerous territory because you might lose the things that make us human.
Yeah, and like, and especially if you're, I mean, it is a bit of a catch 22, because like I kind of feel like when I got diagnosed, I was like, oh, I should have been, you should be vetted at a certain age, you should be vet, like it should be like everybody gets like an exam or like a test that tests you for this when you're like 7. But then at the same time, like if you're, in the case of my friend who I think definitely does have ADHD, but he's getting on just fine and it doesn't bother him, would his life be different if he was told from a young age, you've got this condition that's debilitating and you can't do what other people can do? Do you know what I mean? Would he maybe have learned that he's grown up with something that makes him like really different and that's a bad thing? Do you know what I mean? So like, it's hard to call, isn't it? It's like, I think maybe just what we need is better, like, if the vetting process is a thing, it needs to be like better awareness of seeing somebody struggling. Because I think when I was in primary school and at high school, I was struggling, but it wasn't, I think a lot of people thought it was, oh, she's just a worrier, she's just anxious, she's of an anxious disposition,
The other
like
thing that annoys me about that, though, why does
taking
nobody
my,
ever say why? Why hasn't anybody ever said, why is she like that?
yeah, the conversation just stops at that, full
She is
stop.
just that. She's just anxious. But why? Why doesn't anybody ever ask why?
Like that's just your, they just think that's your normal state of function. That's your only state.
But if somebody asked why, they could maybe get to the bottom of why you are, and then things could be put in place, and then you'd have a completely different experience.
Totally.
Yeah. But no, I think, especially like schools and stuff, the way the education system's set up, it's just not designed to do that, to check in on people and see why they're failing.
And I think another thing that I've learned about my ADHD and myself is that like I'm quite an empathetic person, and at times that like that at times that can be quite distressing if I pick up on other people's kind of pain. I really feel that, or if like if I'm watching a horror film, like which I don't do because it's too stressful. And I think that's because I'm really empathetic. Like I can imagine what that would be like. Some it depends, but because I work in film and because I've seen a lot of films now, I've kind of managed to disassociate and be like, this is just a film. But I think other people as well kind of have that thing where it's like, for them, it's like you, if you're so empathetic and you're labeled as sensitive, it's because you feel what other people feel very easily, and little things can really upset you. Like I think this is why I'm vegan and why I'm very like environmentally focused and environmentally conscious, is that If I see like especially an animal suffering, that like that really affects me. Major empathy in that area, more so than maybe other areas or something. And things like that really upset me to the point of like maybe more than it would a norm. Maybe a normal person would be upset for a few minutes, whereas I'd be still thinking about that for like a whole week. Like if somebody cuts a tree down nearby, it really upsets me. And to the point I'll maybe have weird dreams about it. So like but then like that sensitivity and that like empathy, you can think about that quite negatively, but I think what the support group is trying to do and what I've noticed is helpful to do in discussion at the support group is to change the mindset around that. Because you're really sensitive or because you're really empathetic, that means you're like, a really good friend. And that means you're like really good at listening and helping other people. And that means that you're very considerate of others and you think of doing things for other people that people wouldn't have thought of and that people really appreciate. And that maybe makes you a really good partner or, so I think I think I need to still practice doing that and change my mindset around these things. But then I think it's good in the support group that we can, if the tone's been quite dreary and maybe one of our drop-ins, we can then like be like, okay, well, let's think about the benefits of these things, like because you're this way, have you ever thought of looking at it in this, like through this lens? So yeah, like that's a real important thing and a real important tool that I've learned about kind of seeing the good points
I think
and
that's,
things
I
we can
totally agree with you. And I agree with you, especially with the group and that, because it can get really dark and really heavy. And I think the problem is, if you're in the middle of that, you're in the middle of that, awful situation because of your ADHD, especially, it is hard to just go, oh, this is great and this is great. And but you can do this. And but because it feels like kicking somebody when they're down in a way, it's like, but at the same time, it's essential because ADHD is a lifelong condition. You can help yourself manage it and stuff. And so if you can make people understand that they won't always be where they are, and things can get better, I think that's a massive positive thing to do. Because it is easy to dwell on the negatives when you're in the middle of
Yeah,
it.
totally. This is what makes like people with ADHD really good in like creative roles where they are high intensity or like working in aid. Do you know, at one point I really considered like doing that because I was like, I think I'd be good at it because of this, like because of this level of like wanting to help people and being like having all this energy, as well.
Isn't that comedians and stuff as well, because of that fast thinking element as well? That
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And like they love like the rush of adrenaline of like standing in front of like thousands of people and that feedback, of like making other people laugh and making people happy, which is so sweet, it's like yeah. So and yeah, there's so like if you've ever seen a comedian getting like what's it called? Heckled.
That's
But
funny.
like sometimes they come back with like the most amazing like quickest response that like you're so witty and on your feet thinking like that was yeah it's like it's amazing to watch yeah so and these are all kind of like the amazing traits that we've got that yeah that like in all this research is coming out that why like CEOs of companies should have neurodiverse people on their team and why they like
Isn't there a massive, I don't know, 85 or 90% or something of people that work in Silicon Valley as well? Aren't they all neurodivergent? They go out of their way to hire people with neurodivergency.
Yeah, I've seen some articles recently about like why CEOs should hire like neurodiverse people because they're an asset, like autistic people can think really like straight about things, like they can like there's no like faff, there's no like they're very direct and they can like say what like something is without overcomplicating it. And then like ADHD people can really think outside the box and see things from a different angle and quick to think on their feet, quick to problem solve, and these are all the kind of things that you need to then start advocating for yourself about like if you tell your employer, if you go for a job interview and you say, like, I've got ADHD, but here's all the really good things, you know, like, or,
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
you know, and if you start like telling yourself that too, like, not a lot of people can do these things, you know, like in my friend's situation, 3 out of 4 people froze to the spot and had no idea what to do when they saw some guy crash his car. Whereas, like, you know, he was able to like essentially help save somebody's life.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, yeah, I think that's maybe like a reason why we even exist or why our brains are wired that way. Because, like, back in like, I've heard people say that, like, you know, back when we were all living like cavemen and women, we needed people who were like more highly sensitive to like be the first kind of people to alarm the tribe that I think there's like a jaguar in the woods. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be so relaxed. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. Or we'll get complacent and we'll die.
Yeah.
We need to like be a bit intense.
Yeah.
So,
No, I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely.
but
Cool.
yeah.
Well, that seems like a good place to end, Demichis, don't you? For the marathon.
The
End on the positives. That's what we need to do.
jaguars. Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you
Yeah,
so
good.
much for doing this and yeah, for being so open. It's been really good speaking.
Thanks for having me.